It's Hot 93.7, hot937.com. Voices is on your airwaves right now. Big man here. And every single week, I want to bring something new to you. I want to bring something exciting to you. I want to bring something that's going to open your eyes, man. All right? And it's interesting, the brother who I have on the line right now, right? All right, let me give you a backstory before I bring him on the line. All right? We've seen each other. You know, we said what's up to each other. We spoke and we seen each other out and about. And his brother stopped me about a week ago. And we had a powerful conversation. All right? And I've watched some stories on him and the past that he's had and the things that he's doing right now. It, to me, it's mind-blowing. And this is something that you guys need to hear about. And it was important for me to have him on the airwaves because we want to, you know, talk about not only things that are, you know, happening in the community, the negative that you see on the news and stuff like that, but we want to shine some light on the positive. Shine some light on somebody who's been through the trenches and then they turned that negative into a positive, and also in the process creating opportunities for our people in the community, which is a part of the solution. So a lot of times we say we talk about the problem, but I feel like this brother is being a part of the solution. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to bring on the line my brother Keith Soto. What's going on, brother?
Hey, man, thank you for having me, man.
Oh, listen.
Appreciate it.
Look, after what we talked about, man, I felt like it wasn't even it wasn't an option. I was like, yo, you got to come on the radio with me. We got to talk about this. I think more people need to hear this. Now, for those who might not be familiar with you, let's just go back to your backstory, man. Let them know, you know, where you started, where you are now, and the program that you're working on.
Yeah, well, yeah, my name, Keith Soto. I'm from Hartford. I grew up on Rutland Street, bounced around to Bowles Park, Nelson Court, the Vale, ended up moving to Chatter Oak. So I've been everywhere in all the hoods, you know. The typical, you know, my backstory is a typical story, man. It's just the outcome is a little different from most people.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I grew up in a drug era, you know, no father, just my mother in the streets. So, you know, my grandmother raising us, my aunts, you know, things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like every other story, man, I got caught up in the streets too.
Mm-hmm.
Started selling drugs initially, you know, my drug dealing started because I was trying to put food on the table for my siblings.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's how that started.
Right.
And then eventually, you know, just like everything else, I got caught up in the greed, like, oh yeah, now I can buy these clothes that I couldn't have before, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then it just took off from there. Then I end up getting locked up at a young age and met this kid from Waterbury.
Mm-hmm.
Started talking with him, end up going to Waterbury, meeting him. And just took the trap and just started trapping out there, you know. And, you know, life just got crazy. But now I'm out here. Now, you know, I'm shooting at people, stabbing people, all this crazy nonsense, all because I'm from Hartford. You know what I mean? At that time, Hartford was homicide Hartford. You know, this is summer, everybody was dying out there in Hartford.
Mm-hmm.
So with that on my back, man, you know, I kind of felt invincible. But then my life ended up changing, big man. Like, really, man, is when I went to jail. I went to jail for 11 and a half years.
Mm.
I went in there at 17. I was just turning 17. My daughter was in the process of being born. It wasn't until I got to jail, man. You know, I got linked up with some 5 percenters, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of, like, you know, shine a whole bunch of light on me. And at the time and the stuff they were saying, I'm like, oh, this, I can't be God, man, a black man. God, like, wait, my destiny is in my hands? No, this can't be true, man.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Right.
After building with these brothers, man, and I was able to, like, basically see things differently. Like, I want different. You know, I have a daughter out here. I don't want her to grow up like I did or be attracted to the type of dudes I was,
mm-hmm.
you know? So, you know, I did that 11 and a half years, man. I came home. Mind you, I got a brother that get a lot of money out in the streets,
mm-hmm.
a lot of money. I made up in my mind at this time, like, you know, my family could help me. My brother could help me. He could put me on. I could be back in the streets or... Mm-hmm. you know, I could go take handouts from people. What ended up happening, and I made it up in my mind when I left Cheshire, not asking nobody for nothing. Mm-hmm. Only way I'm gonna appreciate the things I'm gonna accumulate is if I stay messed up. I came home to a halfway house. Actually, you know, my cousin, I haven't seen one of my cousins in like, man, probably like 20 years. She let me parole to her house, you know what I mean, just to help me out, whatever the case was. But I was home probably like 3 months, but I was wearing the same clothes every day. Every day, going to look for jobs with the same clothes. Washing at night, I was in a halfway house, washing these clothes, washing my underwears, my boxers, socks, everything for like 3 months. You know what I mean? The struggle was real, man. People mm-hmm. looking at me like, yo, we're going to help you out, man. Like, yo, we know you, man. Your family big out here. But I was just like, yo, nah, man, first of all, none of y'all was there with me when I was in jail. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to come home and now all of a sudden it's so much love.
Right.
You know, where y'all was at when I really needed y'all? Besides my aunt, man, my aunt was there for me, though. But anyway, I ended up finding this job, a dishwashing job. And it paid nothing. It paid like $10. You know, most people coming home already, they would have gave up. I'm not wearing the same clothes all the time. I'm not taking no dishwasher job for $10. I end up taking this dishwasher job for $10, and I met this white dude, man. Right now, he's my best friend. I met this white dude. He took me under his wing. He was like, I'm going to show you how to cook. He's like, if you learn how to cook, you will never not have a job.
Wow.
I was like, whoa, man, that sounds good to me.
But you know what? You know, hold on. Let me have you pause right there. Let me have you pause right there. Ladies and gentlemen, it's hot937.com. Big man here. I have my brother Keith Soto on the line, and he's talking about this. Listen, catch what he's saying, right? He met someone who he didn't know before. Someone who he didn't know before started giving him jewels. Well, all the people he was running with all of this time, and I always say, you never know. The person who is going to help you change your life, or the person who's going to be that person to help you change your life, you haven't met them yet. Learn how to network. Go ahead, brother. I didn't mean to stop you, but I had to put that point out there.
Nah, man, that's a fact, man. That's a fact, man, because me and this particular person, man, we from two different worlds. He's from Avon.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Grew up real well. I'm from Hartford in Waterbury. Grew up with nothing, man. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So for him to snatch me up under his wing the way he did, man, you know, to this day, man, it's a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I eventually, you know, so what happened, man, this is crazy. So I'm doing good, right? Doing good. I had a PO, my parole officer, man, this dude, like, he used to ride me, man. He's like, his words was, I'm gonna make sure you don't be successful. His name Norton. I'm gonna shout him out to parole Norton. Guess what, man? I run two Hilton hotels.
Mm.
You know what I mean? You over here trying to lock people up. I'm doing good. But anyway, this dude told me, he's like, I'm gonna make sure you don't become successful. He locked me up.
Mm.
He sent me to jail. It was a violation, but at the time I was messing with this female, and she had passed out, and she hit her head, so I had to drive her car. I'm driving her to the hospital. I got pulled over by the police. They let me go, even though I was on parole, because they see what was going on. He locked me up for it. The police even came down there and said, don't do it. He was doing something good. He still locked me up.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? And his words to me was, I told you I was going to get you. And that's what motivated me. Besides my kids, yo, this parole officer, man, he motivated me, man. Because I was like, man, you would never take my freedom away from me again, man.
Mm.
Ever.
Mm.
So anyway, man, make a long story short, I ended up meeting my wife. You know, that story crazy, so I can't put that out there. But
right.
I met my wife who motivated me, man, in a way that I've never been motivated in my life. The love that she gave me, the understanding of, like, where I came from. She understood my pain. She understood my hurt. You know what I mean? My insecurities, she made me appreciate them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to find that. She was with me for me, not because I had a name or, you know, I had a little money. Mm-hmm. It was just for me, man. And I never experienced that before. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So So she, I was like, I need a cooking job. So what happened was she applied for me for the Hilton. I'm like, they're not going to hire me, man. I'm from the hood. I got a police record. They're not going to mess with me. Kept calling them. They kept giving me the runaround. Eventually, I got in there. I started off as a line cook. Mind you, I'm only making $12 an hour at this time, and that's not no money, man. I'm kind of like struggling a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And as a man in a relationship and my wife being a breadwinner, that's okay with me. But I just felt like at least I need to like bring more to the table than what I was doing. So I was starting to get a little discouraged, like, man, I could go to the streets and get this money, man. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But my wife wasn't around for it, and she was encouraging me, like, yo, get that thought out your head. That thought is going to lead to nothing but destruction and put us in a worse situation.
Mm-hmm.
So what I ended up doing was, while I was working there, I met this guy. There's another white guy, man, and he was telling me, like, listen, man, because when you work at the hotel, you get to see that, you know, you get familiar with people, whatever the case is.
Mm-hmm.
So me and him was out cool. He was like, listen, man, there's no difference from the corporate world and the street world. And I was like, so I'm explaining to him, like, man, it's survival of the fittest in the street, man. Like, it's dangerous out here. People be trying to take over where you at. You know, things of that nature. It was like, yeah, but we do that in the corporate world. So I'm like, how you figure that? So these is his words exactly, man. A young dude too. He was like, you know, if you're in the streets and you're hustling over here, and these people hustling over there, if they're making more money than you're making, you're gonna try to, you know, combine the two territories. Like in a corporate world, that's called a corporate merger.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, oh, damn. I was like, all right. We talking about that. Then he was like, you know, but if the other people do not want to, you know, hang out with you and your friends and do it together, then, you know, y'all use force. And the corporate world is called a hostile takeover.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so now I'm like, damn. So I had this thought in my head. I talked to my wife about it. So I was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to treat the Hilton, my current job, I'm going to treat it like it's the streets. I'm just going to go in here and out-hustle everybody. And that's what happened. I went from, in 3 years, man, I went from a line cook to the sous chef, which is the second person in charge of the kitchen, to the executive chef.
Mm.
Turned the whole kitchen around.
Wow.
Then they started sending me to New Jersey. So now I'm in New Jersey getting, you know, running the kitchen down there. And all I could think about was this PO, man. You would never make it. I'm going to make sure you will not make it to be here now. So then I just took it a little step further, you know, as I had mentioned to you, that I just started hiring people, man, that's from, like, my areas, to give these dudes a chance that nobody had gave me. I found, like, my breakfast cook. Maybe he's listening. Hopefully he is. I found this dude just walking down the street one day. I pulled up on him. I was like, yo, listen, man, you want a job? I could give you a job right now at the Hilton. I'm giving you 401k. I'm giving you paid vacations. These days are unheard of in a kitchen.
Right.
You know, but I want to get everybody from the, you know, from where I came from in an opportunity to be able to make sure that their kids is good. You know, medical for $5, man. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So right now, well, because of this pandemic, you know, everything is kind of slow. But before this pandemic, everybody in my kitchen was from the streets. And one thing I would give everybody, nobody ever disappointed me. Everybody always came to work. Everybody always appreciated the opportunity that, you know, I afforded them. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, I'm just grateful to be in a situation I'm in.
Wow.
And, you know, that's like kind of like most of it, man, you know.
So listen. Once again, it's Hot 937, Hot937.com. Big man here, all right? And I have Keith Soto on the line. And something that's key that he said, okay, because what we talk about a lot of times, and I've talked about a lot of times on this air, this brother received a blessing that came to him over time. It was multiple small blessings that turned into big blessings, right? And so he identified that he had these blessings. And what did he do? He made a conscious effort to pass it on to someone else. And I always say a blessing isn't a blessing until you've passed it on. And with him saying, you know what, I was able to come from the streets. I was able to be in charge of not one, but two kitchens. And not one, but two states. And not one, but two hotels. All right? From a line cook. Started out dishwashing. From a line cook. You understand what I'm saying? And he's doing this, and then he saw where he could create opportunities for other people who, because how many times do we hear the story that, you know, yo, man, I've been trying to get this job, but my record is holding me. Nobody hire me because I got a record. Nobody will give me a chance. All I want is a chance, man. I don't want to go back to the streets, but because nobody will give me a chance, my family is starving. What else do I have to do? See, this is where the problem comes in, because we always say, oh, man, well, you come home, stay away from the streets, get to work. But what do you do when you have your kids who need? You got your wife who needs. You got your whole household who needs. And everybody is telling you no, not because you're not qualified, but because you made a mistake in life. Because you were out here in the jungle trying to survive. You understand? So the problem becomes, see, the problem isn't that the opportunities aren't there. The problem is that those who have the ability to give you a chance refuse to give you a chance. But not in this case, because this brother Keith Soto is here to give you a chance. You understand? I mean, I know it's slowed up and he can only do but so much. But imagine if there's other people who've been through his struggle who may even be in the same position or better position. Maybe it'll open their eyes to say, you know what? I was there before and I'm being judgmental on the people who are doing exactly what I had to do. I understand their struggle, but I'm trying to penalize them. You know what? I need to extend that helping hand. And for that, I applaud you solely for that, brother. So right now, currently, if you know off the top of your head, how many brothers or sisters would you say you've employed through doing what you're doing?
Probably like 10, man.
Wow.
And the crazy thing is, like when this pandemic happened, I ended up doing security at Tavola.
Uh-huh.
So I was doing security over there, and I'm all about my people, man. So the dude that owned it, James, he needed somebody to cook. So I'm like, all right, man, you know, I'll go in there and help you out. And the first thing I did was bring my one of my dinner cooks from the Hilton over there, because she's not working.
Mm-hmm.
I know she got kids. I was like, listen, man, we have a package deal. If I'm coming, I'm bringing her. So now what I did was, because, you know, I knew him, and I know he didn't know her. So what I did was I used myself to get her in there as far as, yeah, I'm going to do the cooking. I brought her in just the dishwash.
Mm-hmm.
I knew I wasn't going to be there like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted him to get comfortable with her to see that she can execute food.
Right.
So now I left, and now she runs that kitchen now.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
Man, this is, all right, first of all, this is mind-blowing to me, because the sad reality of this is stories like this are rare, and they shouldn't be. They shouldn't be, you know, because we're in positions where we can help people out, all right? Because especially during the pandemic, think about this. Work was slow during the pandemic for almost everyone. Now, this brother was given an opportunity, okay, and he could have been like, okay, let's go, man. I got an opportunity to, you know, keep feeding my family. He was thinking enough of helping people, thinking outside of himself, that he was like, yo, nah, she's got to come along. She's got to come along. Listen, it's Hot 93.7, Hot 93.7.com. Big man here. Keith Soto is on the line. That's who you're listening to talking about the opportunities that he's creating for brothers and sisters who have people looking at them with a side eye because of some mistakes that they may have made in life, when you should be looking at them as opportunities to help people grow and advance. Instead of giving them the opportunity to do so, some people are casting a side eye on these people, and these people are probably the most talented people that you will find are the most coachable. Because, yeah, someone's made a mistake, but they might not want to make that mistake again. They just need that one yes. That one yes. And this brother's done that for 10 or more people. Changed the course of 10 lives. So imagine if everyone within an earshot of this program right now did the same thing. Did the same thing. Keep Soto on the line, man. It's Hot 93.7, Hot 93.7.com. Now, you're currently managing, is it two restaurants, correct?
Yeah, so what happened is because of the pandemic, I'm out of salary, man. So the type of money I was making, they can't afford to pay me right now.
Right.
You know, so I'm laid off right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this is a crazy thing, man. You know, I don't want my wife to get mad, but I was making a lot of money, man, like a lot of money. To go from that situation to doing a little security guard work, right? It paid all right.
Mm-hmm.
But now I had to put my pride aside. Now I'm a manager for Dollar General. So the other people's like, yo, damn, man, this dude fell off. But nah, man, that's the signs of a man. Like, regardless of what the situation is, I'm going to try to put myself in a situation to where I'm still bringing money home and there's no risk of my family have to come visit me in prison or, you know, send me money or anything like that. You know what I mean?
There's so many multiple stories in this, all right? It's multiple stories in this. It's multiple stories in your one story. And here's all of these different lessons that are being learned, all right? It's Hot 93.7, Hot 93.7.com. Big man here. Keep Soto on the line. What you taught from that alone is pride and ego will block your blessing every time.
Definitely. All right.
And, you know, I heard someone speak before, and they said ego stands for edging God out, for those people who believe, right? So, and that's part of blocking your blessing, because you could have sat back and been like, man, nah, I'm not doing that. And there's a number of people who will tell you that they refuse to work for certain companies. Because, man, what people going to think about me? What do you mean? The worst decisions in life are made based on what you think other people are going to think of you. It's not about that. Like you said, you have responsibilities. And so for my kids, I always felt like, you know what? Whatever I got to do. And I feel like you, if I got to wear the same outfit 4 days in a row, as long as my kids can eat every night, I'm good.
Facts.
I'm good. So while y'all sitting out here trying to impress everybody else at the expense of your better well-being, you got to knock it off. I mean, right now is the time where all entrepreneurs should be created. If anything, you should have learned your own self-worth during these times, all right? Because it's really, really inexpensive to create an LLC. Everyone has a given talent. Everyone does. You just have to dig deep and find it.
Mm-hmm.
You have multiple talents because you're a chef, but you also know how to position people, put them in positions to win.
Definitely.
That, you know, you have mastered the art of putting people in positions to win. You have saved lives to a certain degree. So, of course, you're going to stumble because it's a test. You're going to stumble because it's a test, right? And it's going to test your strength because this happened to see, okay, how is he going to handle this situation?
Exactly.
Is he going to go back to the streets or is he going to find another way to survive? Because each time that you find a way to survive, you grow even more, and then you're put in position to help other people grow more, and what's going to happen is it's going to enhance you in the end.
And that's a fact, man. That's a fact.
Right, because, see, the thing is, you might not even know that somebody's watching your moves right now, watching you put other people in position. You understand? And that person's going to tap you on the shoulder like, hey, man, I've been watching you. I seen what you did. I got this opportunity for you. And it's going to be an opportunity that's going to blow your mind.
And you know what? No, I'm going to tell you, no, this is a fact, man, because you said that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was last year, New Britain Herald did a whole article with me on the cover and everything.
Yep.
A lot of attention. So it's this bar, it's this restaurant called The Bar that's in Newington. The lady, I guess she said that I had a mutual friend of hers on Facebook and is interested in me coming to her restaurant.
Wow.
So what you're saying, like, you don't know who's watching you, and it's a fact, man, because you don't know.
No.
But the thing with self-worth is a lot of us in the beginning stages of our life fell victim to the social ills of our community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's hard as you grow up to really recognize what your self-worth is if nobody never taught you about worth, period, you
mm-hmm.
know what I mean? Or the value of yourself.
Mm.
So it's like kind of hard when you see like people doing certain things and you're like, man, you don't even have no self-worth, because that's a foreign term to them, because they never ever been taught the value of it. You understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So for me, man, sometimes I catch myself saying that too, man, like, oh, damn, man, like the dudes, I'm 41. The dudes I was in the street with still in the streets, don't have no life insurance. You know, don't have nothing, man. They in the streets with no nothing, man. They don't have anything to show for 30 years later. You know what I'm saying?
And listen, okay, it's hot937.com. Big man here. I got Keith Soto on the line. Okay, and the reason why I wanted him to call in is because when we talked, all right, and I really, I had just finished doing an event. I went to the club to support one of my boys who was doing something. And I was just going to hang out there for like an hour. I was there for a while talking to him. But what I heard, see, Keith didn't notice. He didn't know that I was like, oh, we're going to talk about this on the air, because that's a story. That's a lesson. That's a lesson. That's a lesson. I'm listening to you talk, and I'm picking this whole thing apart. Like, we're going to talk about the same things that we talked about, and we're going to put this on the air because people need to hear this. People need to hear this, because a lot of the stuff that I've talked about on my Sunday morning discussions, you've acted these things out and not even known it. You understand? You are a walking testimony to a lot of the stuff that I put out there. And the power behind that is this, right? You could have given up along the way and charged it to the hood. You could have just kept saying, you know, well, look, man, you got to understand where I came from. You got to understand where I came from. You got to understand. But not knowing is what people don't know during that time is, instead of using that as an excuse, use that as your fuel. I came from that. And I want to become something and show the people that's there. You know, because what you've done is made a conscious effort to help those people who've been there not go back there.
Mm-hmm.
They can only do that if they see that you've done it. And that's why you've been able to have these people come and work with you, work for you, and you, like you said, they haven't given you any problems, they haven't let you down, because you are the end product of where they are right now. They're like, yo, he came from this. He was there. You could speak their language. You understand every thought that they've had, everything that they're thinking right now. You already been there. You understand? So that person who's starting out washing dishes, you can tell that story. Yo, I came out. I did this, that, and other. This is where I was. This is where I was. All right? Yo. You can sit them down. You can sit them down and tell them, listen, man, the same thing I was doing in the streets, I just reapplied it to this. So everything you were doing in the streets, reapply it to this right here, man. Reapply it to this.
And yo, that's a fact, because when everybody I interview, whether it's for a dishwasher or a cook, I give them a little backstory, but I always tell them this, man. The number one thing with me that'll get you fired is if you do not try to come after my job. I'm hiring you to take my job. You know what I mean? Because I feel like if you come in and you know it's an opportunity for you to take my job, and the person sitting across from you is saying that to you, it's gonna motivate you. It's gonna make you go hard. Because I feel like this, man. If I'm hiring you, I'm not hiring you just for your job, and that's that. You know, this is a career situation.
Right.
It's Hilton's all over the world. And once you get in there, you can transfer to any Hilton and make and whatever money you make in Connecticut, if you move down south, you continue to make that same money. So, you know, you can live good. So I'm always telling people, you know, come after my job, man. If you come after my job, it's a good look for me because now I can move on. Or I'm going to get you to a place to where you can leave me and you can go somewhere else and excel. And I just felt like for me, man, that's the goal for me, man. It always been since I've been in a position to put people in great positions and to enrich their lives, not just with money, but with jewels of wisdom. Mm. And I feel like, yo, the message is perceived better when, like you said, when you look like the person, when you talk like the person, when you in them areas with the person. You know what I'm saying?
And see, it's Hot 937, Hot937.com. Big man here. I have Keith Soto on the line. And his story is a lot of his story is the product of things that I've talked about. And these are things that I read about. Some of the things are things that I've applied to my life, and some of them are my life experiences. All right. You know, most people know I grew up in Bulls Park. All right. I played football in high school for a little while, and then I came across DJing, went to college. You know, I took the traditional route. Like, my mother was like, go to school, get a good education, get a good job. The thing that I was passionate about, and I didn't even know all of this stuff I put into words later on in life after doing more reading outside of school, but the thing that I was passionate about, which was DJing and communications, I strayed away the most. Most people thought that I went to school for communications, and I refused to do it because I was like, that's my hobby. I don't want to make it my career because I'll get bored with it. Mm-hmm. Okay, here's what happened. I was working in insurance for years and felt unfulfilled. I was still dabbling in radio. I was still working, you know, at the community radio stations here and there. I was still doing that. Okay. And when this station came about and they opened the doors, I was like, yo, if this station is here, I have to be on it. I got in, got a taste of it. I was like, man, I got to be full-time in radio somewhere else. See, the thing is, what most people don't know is I was ready to go. I was ready to go. I had interviewed in other states, and there were some things on the table, and I don't even know how it happened. This job opened up, and I ended up getting this job here. All right? And so most people think, you know, oh, it just happened overnight and this, that, and the other. No, I had to fight for this. I had to fight and not give up. See, the thing is, what people don't – what we kind of skipped over with the journey, and you touched on it, was how many times you had to call and keep calling and keep calling before they even let you in the door. Before they let you in the door, most people would have given up on that first call. But you had already made up in your mind. See, I'm with you. I actually want to thank the PO because he put the fire in you. He ignited that fire. He ignited that fire because he said to you, he was going to make sure you wouldn't be successful. He said to you, I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you back in the system. And you said to yourself, he ain't going to win. You understand? You made up in your mind, he's not going to win. He's not going to win. I don't care what it takes. He's not going to win. You know how many people would have given up? You said 3 months you went wearing the same outfit, washing it every night. Most people would have gave up the first week. They would have gave up the first week because they would have been scared. They would have been scared of who was going to say something about them after they saw them a couple times that week and they had on the same outfit. They would have been scared. And you never gave up. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Hot 93.7, hot937.com. Big man here. I have Keith Soto on the line, and I had a number of reasons why I wanted to bring him on the station today. All right? He needed to be here, and you needed to hear his story. And for those people who are getting those doors closed in their faces, and they're like, yo, man, all right, it's never going to happen for me. It's going to happen for you. You just got to believe. You got to stop saying it's never going to happen, and you got to start telling yourself it's going to happen. You got to speak it into existence.
Yeah, definitely. Yo, man, it's always going to be, yo, this right here is mainly for the dudes coming home, man. It's going to be trials and tribulations. My biggest obstacle when I came home, mind you, most of my daughter's life, I was in jail. When I came home, for me and my daughter not to have a bond. You know what I mean? Or you have a lot of dudes who say, man, I ain't let nobody raise my daughter. You know, like my daughter had a stepfather, man. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even with that, I had to put my pride to the side. You know, I got back into my daughter's life at 12. Mm. And, you know, and it was hard, though, man, because I came home trying to be a father. You know, instead of building a relationship, I just came home thinking I could just discipline her. And, you know, things like that. I had got an apartment, had her move in with me for like 6 months. And the crazy hate when I tell this story, but I had my daughter live with me for 6 months, right? She wanted to be all cute in the summer. I used to tell her, sign up for the school bus because when it snow, you're going to be hit. We end up getting a bad snowstorm, and I made her walk in the snow to school, trying to, like, teach her these lessons early on.
Mm-hmm.
She ended up moving out on me because she was mad. But from the time my daughter was 12, man, my daughter, she finished college. I never missed anything when it came to my daughter, man.
Mm-hmm.
No graduations, anything. And it was hard in the beginning because she wanted so much.
Mm-hmm.
And the pressure that a kid can put on, like someone like myself come home from jail, they don't realize it, but you want to give them everything. And I think that's the reason why a lot of us come home and we get back involved in the streets, because you want to give your kids everything. And me and her had a lot of fights early on because I just couldn't give her what she needed. You know, I couldn't help her mother with clothes. I couldn't do certain things because I was still trying to find a job. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I refused to go back to the streets. But then, you know, me and her had a conversation, and the one thing she told me was, I don't ever want to lose you again. I'm lost without you.
Wow.
And that stung, man. You know what I mean? And it stung. And every year since my daughter is 23, every year me and my daughter spend our birthdays together.
Mm.
Every year. That's like our thing now. And she tells me to this day, like, I appreciate you being tough on me. I appreciate, like, when all my friends was going left, you made sure I went right, even though I was mad at you. Mm. You know, so it's just like, man, definitely for the dudes coming home, man, when it comes to them kids, they focus. They're going to appreciate it down the line. Maybe not right now because they're young, but as they age and you're the one that's there for them. And I used to, every time my daughter graduated, I would run up on the stage and give her flowers and hug her, embarrass her, according to her. But that was just me being happy to be able to see these things. But so many young kids growing up don't have fathers. You know what I mean? So I was just, like, so excited, man, to be a part of her journey from 12 all the way till now, you know?
Right. And you know what? What you said was real powerful, and I think people missed it. You said something that was so powerful because you talked about how it affects you when you want to do more. You want to do so much for them, and the pressure is on, and that's probably what sends people back to the street because you want to do all of this stuff and the pressure is on you to get it done. And it's like, man, I can't. I don't have the means. And you feel like you're letting your kids down. But they might not get that thing right then, but letting them down, all right, is going back up in there and not being around for the key moments of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
All right. It's Hot 93.7, hot937.com. Big man here, Keith Soto, on the line, and he has a story to tell. Brother, I feel like you need to write a book.
Yo, man, but listen, man, you inspirational too, man.
Oh, man.
I'm going to keep it real with you, man. Like, you don't know, like I told you the other day, man, you don't understand the power that you guys have up there, man. I told Craig G this too, man. But, like, when you give people like me, like, these platforms or whatever, man, it's dudes that was in my situation that hear it, man. That's like, you know what? If this person can do it, I can. So the fact that, you know, you're in this position you in, and you utilizing it the way you do, yo, I applaud you, man, because at the end of the day, man, you don't have to do what you could just fall in line with whatever the station wants.
Mm-hmm.
Just play the same music over and over. We don't want to talk about, you know, black consciousness or, mm-hmm. you know, how a couple people made it from out the streets and now they success. You know, you could have fell in line with that type of language.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that you always, you know what I mean, not forgetting about the dudes that everybody else forgot about, that speaks volumes, man. You done got me through some tough times, man, believe it or not, man. So I definitely appreciate you, brother, man. Anything you ever need from me, man, I'm there hands down, man. No question asked.
Yo, you know what it is? It really caught me off guard, man, when you said that to me the other night. If you're just joining us, ladies and gentlemen, this is Big Man. It's Hot 93.7, Hot 93.7.com, and I have Keith Soto on the line. And he just told a story over the course of this past hour about, you know, his upbringing, how he ended up locked up for, you know, over 11 years, all right, and decided after, you know, his parole officer had made a commitment to get him back in jail by any means necessary, he made a commitment to himself that it wasn't going to happen. He made a commitment and said, not me. All right. And to this day, he's living proof that if you believe enough in yourself and you never give up on yourself, you will always keep moving forward and you will be able to overcome any adversity. Because if this guy was trying to put him back in prison like that, and he said no, and he meant no, and he did everything to make sure that no was a definite no. Not today, not ever, not ever, ever, ever is it happening to me. And he made it come to life. We can all do the same thing. We can all do the same thing. We got to believe enough in ourselves to make it happen, though. And I think that's where, you know, we drop the ball. And this brother has been in that point and in that space where I want to do more for my kid. I'm letting my kid down. I can't get her that outfit that she wants. I'm still trying to find a job. But he still fought through and probably had sleepless nights. And he still fought through it. Like, nah, I'm going to do this the right way. I'm going to do it the right way. And when I do it, then I'm going to use my blessing to bless other people. See, to me, that was the reason why. And I couldn't tell you that night. I didn't want you to know that I was dissecting the conversation like that. But the thing is, you are living proof that it can be done. You are a testament to believing in yourself and making things happen and saying, you know what? It's another life out there. It's another. You've traveled. You've traveled. You've done other things. You've seen different places. You've experienced different things. All right. And you understood that, you know what? Life could change for me if I understand that there's life on the other side of the hood.
Facts, man. Facts.
And I could bring that knowledge back to the hood and let other people know that it's life on the other side of the hood. Just like you were talking about, you had cats who had never been away from the hood. You was trying to show them other stuff. And I pointed to my boy, who was a DJ, who was standing right next to me. I was like, yo, maybe 10, 12 years ago, this cat had never left this area. And I went to a conference in California and begged him to come out there. I was like, you need to see this. It'll change your mind. It'll change everything about you. And as soon as I told you the story, he heard it and shook his head, yes. And he came out there, and before we got on the plane coming back, he was like, yo, man, thank you, man. I never would have experienced this. It's changed my whole outlook on things. Now I got a whole different appreciation for what I'm doing right now. And listen.
Definitely, man, definitely.
Brother.
Yeah, because I think one of the keys to Big Man is you got to have Well, for me, I'm going to say having a spouse that is like you.
Yeah.
You know, iron sharpens iron. You know, me and my wife is the same, and my best friend. We done been out the country together. You know what I mean? We always going somewhere out of state.
Yeah.
And a lot of that come from having somebody that shares your dream. Y'all have the same vision. Y'all support each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But also, I think for me too, man, that got me the way I am also is that the people I surround myself with, or everybody I surround myself with as far as guys, we all move the same. We all family oriented. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
We did a lot of things together. Our kids know each other. And so I think, like, you know, if you live a certain way, it's cool to be cool with people that's not in the streets, but you could get caught up in they stuff with the term of being real, like we talked about. That word keeping it real, man, it's the demise of so many of us, because secretly some of us don't even want to do half the stuff we do.
Exactly.
But with that term keeping it real, it forces you to engage in activities that you know ain't really good for you, but you're scared of the perception of others.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, listen, brother, I want to thank you, man, for taking the time out to encourage people, to inform them, and to basically put the message out there and let them know, no matter what you're going through right now, your right now is not forever.
Definitely.
Listen, keep doing what you're doing. For people who might want to sit down and talk to you, man, you got any contact information, an email or something that they could get at you?
Yeah, man, I don't do the social media. I'm old, so I only got Facebook. But my email, KeithSoto19@gmail.com. Before you let me go, I just want to shout out my wife, man, my kids, man, Asia, man, I love you, man. Thank you for helping me get here.
Hey,
you know, Vic, man, I appreciate you, brother.
Look, brother, this is not the last time I'm going to have you on the show, because I know you're going to continue to bless others, man. Continue being a blessing to people. I salute you for everything that you're doing, brother, and it's all respect this way.
Yeah, facts, man. Keep being a voice to the people, man. I'll talk to you later.
All right, brother, appreciate you.
All right, brother, one.
Yep. That's Keith Soto right here. This has been Voices. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to be a part of the show, you can hit me up at DJ Big Man, 2 G's, 2 N's on Instagram and Twitter, or Big Events, B-I-G-G Events, E-V-E-N-T-S @gmail.com. It's Voices, and Sunday School is up next. It's Hot 93.7. Peace.